Due to a technical error, the first half of Brother Gary's message was not recorded. Our apologies, Brother Gary. His message will be joined about halfway through. Thank you.
There's not a one of us sitting here this morning that has escaped his temptations at one time or another. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. If he can get a preacher, that's a bonus. It's good to get one out in the pew, but boy, if he can get one behind the pulpit, ooh, man. That's good stuff. He's also a liar. He's deceptive. He's a murderer. He causes sicknesses. He's cunning. He can even transform himself into an angel of light, Scripture tells us. We got an adversary. We got an accuser. He's the ruler of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. This guy, he's coming to earth when he gets cast out. Now, when he gets here, all the fury of hell is going to be with him. I don't want to be here. But what if we are? Verse 10. More good news. This is the best news. Salvation and strength appear. Notice he says salvation and strength appear. And the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren. Salvation and strength appear. Getting close. We're getting close. Strength. Salvation. God's cleaned heaven out. That's what this passage shows us. He's had enough of the accuser. And let me tell you something. When God gets done cleaning heaven out, it's going to be a short time He's going to clean this nasty old earth up. We're not going to have this worldly system anymore. We're not going to have this ungodly stuff. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, the Scripture tells us. I know time is short, and I'm going to run out of time here, so I got to get going. I'm going to skip through some of my notes here. Verse 11, this is the most important part that I wanted to get to. How do we overcome? Look what it says there. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Can I talk to you this morning about the blood of the Lamb? You know, we don't talk about the blood of the Lamb very much. Notice the tense there, by the way. It says they overcame. This is a future event. It's a done deal. Can I tell you this morning that God is sovereign in all things and He's got His plan in place and it's going just exactly like He wants it to? And when this time comes, this thing's going to happen. They already overcame, it says. You and I, if we're born again this morning, we've overcame. We've overcome this. Brothers and sisters, this morning, here's the answer to our mess that we're in today. John writes three things for us here. And it's three things that we need to know. These things can save us. These things can save us a lot of trouble right now. The blood of the Lamb. Listen, the blood runs through the Bible. It begins when God killed the animal to make Adam and Eve some clothes. Shed the blood of that animal for that. And we see it running all through the Bible. The only way that a man or a woman or a child can spend eternity in heaven with God by the blood of Jesus. Listen, when that first drop dropped from the cross, our sins was covered. The adversary, the accuser, was defeated even then. He didn't know it, but he was. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. We'd all be guilty. We'd all stand in judgment. The only way we can stand up to the accuser is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only hope we got. Folks, the church needs to know that. The world for sure needs to know it. We don't preach on the blood very much anymore. I don't know why. But it's the main thing. Because you see, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb, is the gospel. Because apart from the shedding of the blood, apart from Jesus dying on the cross, there would be no atonement for our sins. He was the atonement. He is the atonement. He's the propitiation of our sins. And that blood... Friends, I don't know if you realize it or not, but you can't stand the wiles of Satan on your own. You got to have a helper. You got to have somebody helping you and standing for you and standing with you. You got to have a supernatural power to fight against a supernatural power. You cannot physically fight Satan. You can't do it. But we have an advocate in Jesus. And He's paid that price, and He's going to stand with you. Remember, He said He sent us a helper. I was reminded by one of my church members. I preached a sermon last week. I told her I was kind of nervous about coming over here preaching. And you know, preaching, I love preaching. I love to do it. But when you do it in front of a bunch of preachers, that makes you jittery, you know. Does me anyway. But I told her, I said, I'm kind of nervous about it. She said, well, I want to remind you what you told us Sunday. The same power that lives in you is the same power that brought Jesus Christ out of the grave. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Scripture tells us. I was glad she reminded me of that. I felt better. Folks, the blood redeems us. Christ paid a price that I could not pay and you couldn't pay it either. He was the perfect sacrifice for God. And He done it willingly. Oh, we ought to love Him. That ought to just thrill our souls that He did that for us. He did that for us. He didn't have to. He didn't gain anything by it. We didn't add to or take away from God anything by Him doing that for us. We ought to want to glorify Him. We ought to want to love Him more. Brothers, we need to preach our churches the blood of Christ. We need to remind them of what He did for us on that cross. Can I remind you this morning also that the blood protects us? There's a protection in that blood. Do you remember when God told them to put the blood on the doorpost and the angel of death passed them by? Folks, I'm telling you this morning, the blood of Jesus Christ protects us from Satan. He has no authority. Like the brother said last night. He has no authority apart from God. If God brings something bad into your life, it's for His purpose. And we don't know that purpose a lot of times. Brothers, we need to get under that fountain and we need to stay under that fountain. We need to stay there. The perfect atonement for our sin. The power of the blood is the only way through this mess that we're in. Preach Jesus and Him crucified. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, every one of his sermons that I've ever listened to, and I've listened to a bunch of them because I love him, never misses a chance to preach Jesus and Him crucified. It's in every one of his sermons. He presents the gospel of Jesus Christ in every sermon he ever preached. We ought to do that. Preach Jesus and Him crucified. The blood that flowed down covered our sins before a holy God. And we ought to be thankful for that. That blood allows us to now have fellowship with God. You remember the curtain was torn in half in the temple? We have access to God. That blood gave us that. Before we were separated. But now we have fellowship. Brother David, I don't have enough paper and enough ink pens to write about the blood. I could go on and on. Christ died that we might live. Now I want to tell you something. One of the great evangelists of our time, and everybody knows who I'm talking about. I don't have to say his name. In a recent article that I read, he said he preached too much on the blood. Folks, I don't think he could preach enough about the blood. He said he preached too much about the blood, and then he got on national TV and said that he thought there was another way to God except Jesus Christ. I hope he's old and feeble and he's just lost his mind. I hope he really don't believe that. Because my Bible says there's one way. It's the only way. It's Jesus. Dear brothers, the true church runs on the power of the blood. The true church runs on the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't run on knowledge. It doesn't run on numbers. It doesn't run on a fancy preacher or a bigger building or even changing the style of our music. The true church runs on the power of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we need to preach it. I believe the church as a whole wants to forget the blood. But I'm telling you the only way through this mess that we're in is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because if we understand the blood of Jesus, if we understand what the blood of the Lamb done for us, we understand that the accuser has no authority over us. We understand that those sins that we had in the past and that we have in the future are gone. You stand guiltless before a holy God because of the blood of the Lamb. We need to remember that and we need to preach that to our people. No matter what happens, Christ has us covered. We need to preach the blood and we need to make sure our people are secure under that blood. Folks, gentlemen, we're responsible for our congregation. Preach it. Preach the blood of Christ. Next, we see the word of their testimony. Now, I'm going to break this up a little bit because I believe that I can do that. So I'm going to. I'm going to break it up into the Word and testimony. I believe one of the problems today is that most of the churches today are not getting the Word of God. Hungry, starved to death. They're doctrinally starved. You can ask the average Christian on the street today what he believes about a certain issue, and he just looks at you with this blank look. Brothers, we need to preach the Word of God. We need to preach the whole counsel of God. It's one of my pet peeves. I've become passionate for it. Very passionate for it. Brothers, the Word of God is where our testimony comes from. Apart from the Word, we have no testimony. 2 Timothy 2, 4, 4:2 says, preach the Word. Be ready in season, out of season. If we expect our people to overcome the accuser, we better be feeding them the Word of God. Show them what God's Word does for them. Show them how to overcome the accuser. Preach the whole counsel of God. One of the hardest things for me as a preacher was to begin to preach verse by verse through the Bible. I believe it's the only way because it makes you study and it makes you look at doctrines and it makes you look at things that you don't want to look at. I just preached through the first chapter of Ephesians for the first time. I'll say that dirty word, so get ready. Election. Oh, I'll say another one. Predestination. Chosen. You see, when you preach the whole counsel of God, when you preach verse by verse through a book of a Bible, it forces you to deal with those issues. Most preachers today do not want to deal with election when it's in the Bible. They'd rather skip over it. It's easier. But I want to tell you something. Election's not a bad thing. Because if it were not for election, if it were not for predestination, if it were not for God choosing some, nobody would have got saved. Because we're totally depraved and there's not one of us that would come to God on his own. It takes God to draw us. But we think we need to go out and do everything in the world to draw the world. Let me tell you something, folks. It's God doing the drawing. That's the true church. Expository preaching forces you to preach the whole counsel of God. It forces people to look at things they have never dealt with before. I see three things in the church today that really concern me. Number one, I believe that most people in the church today have never had a born-again experience with God. I hate to say that. But when I see people, they don't do this in my church. But when I see people walk an aisle and say a prayer and they put their name on a 3x5 card and that same Sunday we baptize them, and they walk out that door and we never see them again. Folks, I'm telling you something. They've never had the power of God upon them. Because when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, it's going to change you. You're going to be a new creature. I like to say it. My favorite saying. The church knows it. If you is what you was, you ain't. If you is what you was, you ain't. If you ain't changed, if you're the same person you was before you had this salvation experience, you ain't saved. Number two. They're doctrinally starved. We've already talked about that. Folks, people are hungry. People are searching. I can take you to two Calvinistic churches in Fort Smith that are growing. And you know what? The other churches can't figure out why. Because people are hungry and they're being fed in those churches. That's why they're growing. They're not growing by any programs. Number three, they don't know how to pray. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The church has done a terrible job on teaching people how to pray. We need to have communion with God. Preach the Word, gentlemen. It's God's words that bring us to salvation. It's God's Word that gives Him that testimony that says to the accuser, I belong to Christ and you don't have any authority to accuse me anymore. My sins are forgiven. If you're under the blood, you have the power that lives in you. The same power that brought Jesus out of the grave lives in you, folks. Understand that. Well, I'm a weak Christian. Horse bananas. A weak Christian? Are you kidding me? The Holy Spirit's living in you, folks. If that same power that brought Jesus back from the dead lives in you, what's our excuse? Preacher, what's your excuse this morning for not preaching under the power of the Holy Spirit if the Spirit of God lives in you? Finally, brothers, we must do as they did. It says they did not love their lives unto death. They loved Jesus more than life itself. I was talking to somebody this week and they told me something and I'd never read this. But they told me that when the Romans would throw the Christians into the Colosseum with the lions in there to eat them up, that the Christians were so anxious to get to Jesus that they would run towards the lions so they could kill them. Folks, that's loving Jesus. Absent from the body. I think they were pretty smart. They didn't run away from the lions. They ran to them. Brothers, the mess that we're in right now, I hope this is not so. Sitting in front of me right now, there could be some martyrs. We could lose our lives. But you know something? I look through history and I look through Scripture, and you know what I see? I see that the times that the true church was under a load was when they were at their best. Folks, I think God is going to use the church, the true church, in the end time. We may lose our heads for it. I hope not. But I think that's what happened here. I wonder if there's some sitting among us that could be convicted. I got to stop. I wish I didn't have to, but I do. I love to preach God's Word. I love God. I love Jesus. I love y'all. I appreciate it.